Well, thank you very much, Madam Chair. This is clearly hypocrisy that CNB has interfered with the local station board of KPFT on several occasions when Mr. Crozier asked. In this case, what he left out was Miss Deborah Shafto and her husband are snowbirds that fly out of Houston and not available for meetings in person for four months out of the year. Notwithstanding the fact that Deborah Shafto and others have continuous had absences where we can't even make a call sometimes. Disenfranchised, but they disenfranchise themselves. I make a point at the station meetings all the time that if you show up when you can, there won't be an argument. This woman that he's describing has had at least 10 absences over the last 15 months. And with respect to her sick husband, I had a sick mother, and I couldn't make meetings. I resigned. I just simply didn't run again. The point is this. You can't throw down our throat because you think they're doing something wrong and you don't prove it. The fact that we have done everything in order. This is a factional effort, and everything you want on this national body, even the bylaws tell you not to do it. You won't listen to your attorney. You won't listen to your ED. You won't listen to anybody because you have the votes. You'll just railroad, but then you want to stand and tell us that we're doing something. You're just a hypocrite for what you are. Mr. Crozier knows very well Deborah Shafto is not available to serve this body. Deborah Shafto has not been volunteered. She is on no committee. All these are lies. They're lies. And those of you who are going to vote lock, stop, in the barrel like you normally do, you're being lying to yourself.
Time.
Because this is nothing to do with the truth.
Thank you for your comment.
Stay out of KPFT business and mind your own.
Thank you, Dwayne. Okay.
Madam Chair Benito, I couldn't hardly hear Dwayne.
Oh, I could hear him loud and clear. There's something wrong with your phone.
No, there is nothing wrong with my phone because I've been hearing all along and when people said they couldn't hear.
I heard him loud and clear.
Okay,
you just need to turn the volume up a little bit on your phone.
So maybe I
try turning the volume up on your phone. Try it, please. Okay, I need one other person for this motion. I can hear Dwayne fine. I could hear Dwayne fine.
Is it possible to speak without you interrupting?
Madam Chair,
you do not have the floor.
Whenever you decide, I don't. We all know that.
I let you have it for a few seconds to answer your question, and now you do not have the floor. I'm asking for a person that wants to speak in favor of this motion now. I've had one for and two against.
Folks, I don't have the right to speak. Let's be clear.
You want to speak for the motion, then you can speak.
Madam Chair, Mansoor would like to speak for it.
Okay, go ahead, Mansoor.
All right, thank you. I'll be very brief. I think I agree with Bill that the LSBs are subsidiaries of PNB. And whatever PNB decides what to do about the LSBs and the conduct of LSBs, it's according to the laws of Pacifica and the California Corporation. And I hope that within next year, we have time to implement the new changes to the bylaws that we don't have to deal with this type of issues anymore. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Bill, you get the final floor, last word before a vote.
Okay, thank you. Well, you know, this is all about fairness. And, despite some of the...
Is he motivated already?
Yeah, you're forgetting the rules, Benito.
The behavior of KPFT is less helpful.
Benito, you don't have the floor.
Right.
We have the motivator. He gets to motivate it. We get two for, two against, and then he gets to the person gets to motivate it again in the end.
There is the point.
So you do not have the floor, Benito.
I'm
going to make a point of order or a request for information.
You allow bill closure to Moribay when he present the motion, Madam Chair. Listen to your own meeting.
At the end as well.
Twice? He motivates twice?
Yes. That's
okay.
How Robert's Rules does it, yes.
That is not true.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. That's when the chair stands
out. You are talking about challenging the chair, Madam Chair. That is totally different. I think that you're confused.
Right, none of you have the floor. None of you have the floor.
Of course.
So that's a point of order that you're making, that he does not get to motivate. Is that what you entertain? Could I have your opinion on that?
Yes, you may, Madam Chair. The PMB has some standing rules from their practice that have come from previous years up to now. I'll give you one example. 2-4 and 2 against, you know, that one was developed by this PMB, and you have other rules. Now, if you all have developed a rule where the motivator speaks first and also last, I don't know if you brought it from previous years or not. However, the point that Adriana made about the chair is allowed to speak on her ruling at the beginning and the end. That is true. And everyone else that speaks about the chair's ruling in between those two only gets to speak once. So those are the facts that when you're challenging the ruling of the chair gets to speak first and last. And this parliamentarian does not know if you have that rule when you brought forth the 2-4 and 2 against. I don't know what your rules are there.
Okay.
It's not
I think Adriana may be remembering that correctly, so we're going to go to a vote now then. Because if we don't have Bill, the motivator, to speak first and last, then I will take Adriana's point. I accept.
I have a request for affirmation, Madam Chair.
I take her point. And so now it's time to go to vote. What's your question?
Request for affirmation.
What's your question, Dwayne?
Before this vote and upon this vote, and if this vote is in the affirmative, how do the local LSB enact this rule? It doesn't have access to a telephonic system like this. So how does it comply?
Madam Chair, can you hear me? How many times
I
will be dropped?
That you're debating the question, Dwayne, so I'm not going to allow your
question. No, I'm trying to make sure this don't create a problem that don't exist right now is what I'm trying to do. I've been a chair of our local station board. I know how difficult it is to have telephonic when you don't have it.
Yeah, I believe that was described in the motion.
Madam Chair, may I address this point quickly?
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, we have this issue occasionally on our LSB in Los Angeles, and we just have someone who has a cell phone, just put it on speakerphone, and call the person who's wherever they are, and they speak, and they can hear, and they participate. There's nothing high-tech about it.
You can't even hear the people at the meeting. How long can you hear somebody on the telephone at our meeting? That's ridiculous.
Well, it happens. It works very well, actually.
Now, you haven't been to KPFG meetings, and Bill Closure knows very well that this is not practical. Say, I relent, but you're creating a problem that doesn't exist right now.
Maybe if you could document that, Dwayne. I know that your meetings are recorded, so if you could send recordings of your meetings if this passes, you'll have to take up telephonic participation, and so when you record your meetings, you'll have to, you will see there whether or not the public can hear the person on the phone, and whether or not the rest of the of your board can hear a person on the phone. Okay.
This is Bill. May I respond?
Madam, it didn't work.
Madam Chair, are you saying why?
1 second.
Yes.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, KPFA's LSB, as they've told us several times, they told us this last year, they've done this repeatedly for almost every meeting, I think.
So, all right, so Adriana, what do you want the floor for?
Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
Oh, my God. Can you hear me?
Adriana. Go ahead, Adriana.
Madam Chair, who's praying? This is ridiculous, Madam Chair. This is totally unfair. We cannot be, I need to be real and real and real.
I am going to find out. How I find out who else is doing this.
Okay, Madam Chair, may I ask you, please, that we need to understand that our FCC John Krieger said that we are violating the open meeting, the CPD open meeting requirement. We understand that, and we are violating the bylaws, we are violating the California Cremation Code, just for political names. People are not being excused when we have members that can't.
What do you want the floor for, Adriana? Why did you want the floor?
I want this being postponed till we have the opinion from our lawyer for Green in how this is, because if not, this is a lawsuit coming. We cannot violate all the bylaws. You know, and then decide that doesn't matter. The foundation will pay for. I want the opinion.
Is there a second on Adriana's?
No, point of order, Mansoor.
What's your point of order, Mansoor?
Yes, thank you. When she spoke against this motion, she could have brought this point up then. We have two people have spoken for and two people spoken against, and you asked for the taking a vote, and she's out of time with that.
Point well taken.
Madam Chair, I'm very sorry, but John Tejun told us that when we get the floor,
Madam Chair, please bring the member to order.
When you give us the floor, we have the right to present a motion. That is what John Tejun told me, and you gave me the floor.
Well, I gave you the floor, but not. I gave you the floor for either a point of order, request for.
No, I didn't ask for any point of order, Madam Chair. I asked for the floor, and I asked for a postponement because this is a liability for this foundation. We know because we have the opinion of our own lawyers telling us that this is not
okay,
allowed.
Adriana, we heard you. You don't have the floor anymore. I'm taking Mansoor's
point. I presented a motion and was seconded.
Madam Chair, please bring the member to order.
One second. So we had 2-4, 2 against, and now we're going to a vote. Bill, take the vote, please. No, Bill.
Oh, my God. This is incredible.
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Grace votes yes. Jonathan Alexander? I don't know if he's on the call. Adriana Casanave? Can't hear you, Adriana. Is she muted?
No.
Okay, Chris Corey?
I vote no. Can you hear me?
Okay, Adriana votes no. Chris Corey?
Yeah.
Chris passes. Bill Crozier votes yes. Joseph Davis?
So
I guess he's not on the call. Catherine Davis?
Yes.
Catherine votes yes. Benito Diaz?
Take a guess. No.
Benito votes no. Chan Goodman?
Yes.
And votes yes. William Heerwagen. Can't hear you, William. Serena Jacobs.
He's muted. You know it, Madam Chair.
Yes. Serena votes yes.
Sabrina votes yes. I'll come back to anybody that didn't hear. Dwayne Lark?
Shameless. No.
Dwayne votes no. Ken Laufer?
Yes.
Ken votes yes. Tony Leon? Can't hear you, Tony. Afia Wangaza? Can't hear you, Afia. Alex Randall?
In favor.
Alex Randall votes yes. Mansoor Sabah?
In favor.
Mansoor votes yes. Alex Steinberg?
Oh, he's muted. Somehow he got muted. Go ahead, Alex.
Yes.
Alex Steinberg votes yes. Carol Travis, is she on the call?
No, she's not on the call.
And Tom Voorhees is not on, I guess. Moscow, Washington?
No.
Oscar votes no. Going back to who we missed, let's see, Jonathan Alexander. Can't hear you, John. Chris Corey?
Yes.
Chris votes yes. Joseph Davis? I don't think he's been on the call all night. William Heerwagen? We couldn't hear you before. Is he muted?
Oh, wait, yeah, there we go. Yeah, he, I don't know.
Now I understand. Now I almost understand how aggravated Adriana gets for being muted, because I'm talking away twice now, and I'm muted too. So you're really,
somebody,
I don't know why you're calling in the same.
William, I agree with you. I just muted you. I agree that someone is playing with the phone other than me. I'm going to unmute you now so you can vote. And you will remain unmuted. And I'm not going to touch your thing again. Okay, go ahead and vote.
I agree, someone
is playing with the controls.
Right, so why did you think that calling a different number to the same system would help? I vote no.
William, I thought it might. So, okay.
Okay, William votes no.
I'm very sorry it did not work. But it did not work. I'm very sorry. I don't know what to do about it at this point. Do you want to vote?
You voted no. I got it. Okay. Tony Leon? I didn't hear you before. Rafael Wangaza? Didn't hear you. Okay, let me count votes.
Arrogance is out.
Madam Chair, are you sure that Rafael Wangaza is not muted?
She's not.
Okay, with 10 yes and 5 no. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Say that. What was the vote again? Didn't hear you.
10 yes. 10 yes, 5 no.
Chair abstains. Could you try Afia again?
Okay, Afia, are you there? Do you wish to vote? Afia Wangaza? And she's not muted?
She must have had to go step away to take.
She might have muted herself. Okay.
No,
We muted ourselves. Yes, yes.
And usually you can see that here.
Yes, yes, we see.
If somebody mutes themselves, you can also see it on Maestro. Okay,
and then what?
Madam Chair, can you please bring the member to order?
I'm abstaining. I'm abstaining, and no one is muted at the moment.
Madam Chair,
tell me the vote now that I've abstained.
Okay, that's 10 yes, 5 no, 1 abstention.
Okay, so this motion for allowing telephonic meetings and reinstating Deb Shafto it passes. Okay.
Okay, yes. And could I mention something was discussed earlier about the agenda? The delegate, the Pacific Elections was on the call for the meeting. So it is appropriate to go ahead and have.
Oh, yeah, I know it was. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So the next item is.
Madam Chair, point of personal privilege, please, again.
Yes, Mansoor.
Mansoor. Yeah, please, I'm begging you. You have to control this thing. It's like this is extraordinary, this whatever you want to call it, deleterious, purposeful, sabotaging, whatever. But please, I mean, this is too much. Too many point of order, too many yelling, too many screaming, too many accusation. And how many times do we have to have one person interrupting everything that we do? Two people interrupting, accusing us the way that we are doing things. This is, you have to bring this thing to an order. You have to shut things down when they're inappropriate. And it's on your, your watch.
Thank you for your
thank
comment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Monsieur.
Upon a personal privilege.
Okay, so now we are going, now we're going to go to the next item on the agenda.
Wait a minute. This is Maskila. How did he get permission to make all that noise he just made? Talking,
privileged.
Trying to sound moral, but he's not, in protecting his faction. Come on. The Congress has, 435 people, and they get through stuff. They argue. They debate. And we can't do that with 24 or however many? Come on. Stop being...
On a personal privilege.
I'll be happy to answer that.
It was a point
of... personal privilege, Madam Chair.
Wait. Maskila has the floor.
You're putting all this Trump nonsense on the Pacifica board. All Trump has... He has... permeated his spirit on everything in this country, including this board. And I see it, and you should see it too, and not want it for us. I don't want it. You're limiting debate. You're limiting people, especially people of color. It's ridiculous.
Don't forget, I am one of those.
No, you're not.
On a personal privilege.
All right, now stop. Everyone is now out of order.
Caught a personal privilege. The same privilege that you gave the previous
member. I'm sorry, Dwayne. We're not doing
that. That's the point. The privilege is that you give to the majority that you don't extend to the minority. And I refuse to be called a minority.
All right, Dwayne. Okay, I am going to...
Of course you are. All of you are out of order. All of you are hypocrites.
All right. I believe that was your personal point of privilege, Mansoor, and I know everybody that's in this position has difficulty with this, and I try to be fair and hear people's questions, but you are correct that sometimes people take advantage of that, and give them the floor one or two times, and then if they start going on again, then I have made attempts to shut that down tonight. And we are now on the last item of this agenda. So, we do have to have debate, and when motions are put on the floor that people don't like, they're going to be upset about it. And they're going to have comments, and we just have to let people talk. And we cannot stop people from saying stuff if it's within the time limits of that item. Okay, so it does avoid getting to hear other people give points for and against the debate, but then we go to a vote, and it's too bad that we don't get to hear everybody's voice when that happens, but then we go to the vote. So, right now, I'd like to let Maxie have the floor for the election report.
What's the time on this category?
It is 30 minutes.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to be brief. The NES report to the Pacifica National Board has been updated since we've been on this call. The NES has forwarded a document titled Addendum November 29 Timeline. It's a PDF. If you're unable to look at it, let us know. Let me know, and I'll make sure that you get a copy of it. But it sets forth some amended dates with respect to the new record date, being November 12th, 2018, The election results announced on February 25th, 2019, and there are about four or five additional dates within that time frame where, that are slightly adjusted from what was originally proposed earlier, I believe this week, or it might have been last week, I think it was this week, by the NES and reviewed by certainly several members of the PNB. Bottom line is we're making progress, but the NES did publish a report indicating some concerns with a few stations. Members of this board, along with staff, worked to resolve some of those issues, and I think that's happening as well. So I can answer questions if there are any, but the bottom line is that in your inboxes, you should have a new report from the NES outlining the particulars of our adjusted timeline for the elections. I'll pause and see if there's any need to respond to any questions or concerns before I move on.
Okay, I'll take a sack. Wait a minute now.
Grace, I have a question.
Okay. Benito, then Grace. Go ahead, Benito.
Yeah, Maxie, could you repeat those dates? You were moving real quick. I couldn't get it.
I
don't see the document called addendum.
That's fine. It was sent this evening, so it was sent literally while we've been on this call, so you may have to refresh your inbox or something to get word of it. But the bottom line, it's called Addendum November 29 Timeline. It's a PDF file sent by the NES, ALMA, the SCARA. Anyway, the new record date is November 12, 2018. There are about six dates that have been adjusted, but the election results are to be announced on February 25th, 2019, if quorum is reached. That's the extent of it that I'll reveal at this time. Again, I think it's best for you to just review the document that was forwarded. As I mentioned previously, she had published a document earlier this week relative to some concerns with the timeline provided and approved by members of this board. Those concerns were addressed by members of this board with staff at the stations in question, and movement has been made to resolve the matters as it pertains to lists and getting some information for candidates as well. But the bottom line is if you review that amended, adjusted timeline, I think all your questions should be answered. And if you have additional, you know, certainly we can respond to that. But I just wanted to assure folks on this call that the election process is moving forward. I think one of the provisions that was allotted for with respect to this new timeline is making sure that the mailings of ballots took place after the what is considered a more difficult time to get response rates at a good level. So it's post, I guess, the holiday period. And the election period actually starts on January 7th, as opposed to, I think, a date that was earlier in the month of December. So, again, I can give particulars if you want them, but I think really it's best for people just to review what's been forwarded. But I can certainly answer questions as best I can.
So I have a question. So this is then not going to interfere with any end-of-the-year fundraisers, which is against the bylaws to interfere with fundraisers, right?
Well, you know, I can't answer that. Because, again, this just came tonight. I know that was a concern expressed by staff at the California stations in particular. Very passionate opposition to having to run carts for the candidates during a pledge drive. My advice to them on the leadership call was to bring this issue up with members of their LSB, particularly those who serve as delegates to the PNB for future consideration. But that was all I gave them. At the end of the day, I want to believe that the members of this PNB who you're not going east, you're going west. You're going to go west. Members of the PNB, I'm sorry, I'm in a cab. Members of the PNB who are aware of their stations doing pledge drives would know that these dates overlap to some degree. And I'm sure they took that into account when proposing these dates.
Okay, Grace, next.
Mansoor would like to be on stack.
Okay, you'll be after
Thank
Grace.
You.
I believe Benito had a question was before me. Is that correct?
I thought he asked this question. He wanted to know.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. So I will go on. I don't really have a problem with the timeline itself, but the preamble to the timeline has some things that are incorrect. In particular, point two, part B. The statement here is irregularities found in nominees' petition lists, digitally copied lists with digitally copied signatures used for multiple nominees. This has happened in at least two stations. Now, the nomination, that's the wording that was in this document, this new timeline. The nomination
moment, Grace.
Packet,
Grace,
however.
Let me just interrupt you, Grace. Let me interrupt you. I need to know what you're referring to because I don't see that in the document.
Okay. Okay, NES
document?
Response to any, this is the NES report of November 29th, 2018.
Yeah, I don't think we're talking about the same document, but let me pull up what you're probably referring to. I'm sorry, go ahead. I'll pull
okay,
up.
when did she send another
this
document?
This literally came at 9:29 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tonight.
What time was it at again?
9:29 Eastern Standard Time tonight.
9:29.
Right. 6:29
okay.
Pacific Time.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. So. Okay. I see. I have it now. Can you put me at the end of the stack, Nancy?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And I'll just read the line that Alma put the NES put in the email itself. She says, "Dear PNB members. Because of the mail-out change requested by Honest Ballot, this evening verbal conversation from January 5, 2019 to January 7, 2019, see previous email sent to you tonight. Attached, you will find the minor date changes needed to the November 29 timeline and submitted for your approval." So that was the email, the body of the email, and then attached to this email is the addendum I referenced. The original document, sent by Alma, I have one listed at 8:33 p.m., but I don't know. That's not it. Grace, you probably...
I found it.
You got it. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, if you may know that the time of the original document, I don't know what time that was originally set. She references it in this email, but I don't see it in my emails.
Okay, well, it's not anyway. She's just asking for us to approve the timeline, all the other things she said.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I have to only one. Actually, I'll take up my time with one quick question.
Go ahead.
Okay with you, Nancy. And that is that the people who are going to get snail mail ballots, they're going to be sent out first-class mail. Am I correct?
I don't believe that's the case. But I think the notion was that there would still be a significant amount of time between the distribution of the snail mail and the time that the votes need to be submitted. It would maybe be 5 days less than those who get it electronically, but they still would have significant amount of time.
Well, that, actually, I hear you, but that's not my question. Oh, you mean that the paper ballots are going to be mailed out, nonprofit bulk rates?
I believe so. I know that she was checking on that. I haven't seen her response to that because I asked her about that this morning. Let me see. I'm going to try to see if I see it in one of the emails she sent this afternoon. But the bottom line is I did ask that question. She was talking to the Honest Ballot. I'll read exactly what was said.
Okay.
Please note that for clarification purposes, I refer to the adjusted timeline I submitted. I had a meeting with members from Honest Ballot this evening. Preliminarily, Honest Ballot's comments were very positive to the new dates for mailing ballots, especially the part of avoiding the mass mail out during the Christmas and New Year's holiday. Information verbally confirmed with them. Number one, paper ballots will not be sent using bulk rates. So you're right, they're first class. Number two, minor adjustment needed. Paper ballots cannot be sent on January 5th as outlined in the original November 28th timeline. Even though the post office is open on Saturdays, the amount of envelopes that need to be mailed at the same time is not handled by the USPS on the weekends. Therefore, Honest Ballot asks for the mail out to be changed to Monday, January 7th. You'll see that in the revised timeline. Please note that I just finished the meeting with them. They are in Houston taking care of another client's elections, and I've not had the chance to review if this minor change requires all other dates to be adjusted. So that was before the document she sent at 9:30. So I believe she accounted for that. So we should be good. I hope that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It does answer the question. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Seems like someone else was on staff.
Mansoor was on staff.
Mansoor, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, thank you, Mr. Jackson, and to Elma for expediting this or keeping it on track and under circumstances that we are in. Number two, we're going to have a fund drive in Los Angeles starting on Tuesday, I believe it's the 4th, and we usually, in the past, we usually stop playing those cards. And it actually does interfere with fund drive because it just shifts everything on the air, and we don't want to do that. And I have asked the GM, and we have talked about this, that we should not play those cards. And those are really at the time that we need to raise as much money that we can, that because we were short, to do away with the card and wait for the after fund drive, which would be just a short 2 weeks. So I really have no question except making that statement. And I just want to really thank you for pursuing this to make sure that the election's happening. And whatever small shortcomings we have, we shall fix them while we're doing this as well for the next year to make sure everything goes smooth. Thank you very much.
If I may, Madam Chair, I want to just respond briefly on one of the points Mansoor made, and that is about the carts. There's been some back and forth about this issue of the performance of candidate carts on air. I made mention to Carol and Nancy, I'm sorry, in a separate meeting, separate call, that all the years I was in public radio, I never once heard a spot played for board, for any kind of board, except for maybe a community advisory board. I say that to say not that it's a quote-unquote best practice or anything, but I think we need, as an organization, to really give some serious thought to whether matters of these local station board elections, other than a general notice, need to be something that is performed on air. I could see it as a web service, something that's provided as a page where you can get in-depth interviews and perhaps the candidates providing their pitch, if you will. But I don't think that on air on our stations is the place for this material, primarily because, as I think all of you know, less than 10% of the people who listen to these stations are members, and probably less than 50% of those people vote. And so it's a questionable return on investment when you consider the amount of people who are affected by what they are really tuning in to listen to are getting versus these spots. So I just wanted to mention that as something for us to consider, whether, again, there's a useful return on investment using the airtime in this way. The stations clearly don't want to do it. And I, it's not that I'm, you know, trying to back them specifically here. I do think it's a valid question that they're bringing up that we should at least have some conversation about at some point.
Thank you very much. This is a great point.
And
yes.
The stack, please.
Dwayne to the stack.
Timekeeper would like to mention the time that we are on. Madam Chair.
Is Nancy still on?
Oops, I muted, sorry. Mention the time.
Yes, we have about 5 minutes left.
Jan,
Dwayne to the stack.
How is that possible? We didn't take this up until 11:30. It's a 30-minute reading.
Oh, no. You know, I do apologize. We are at the 18th minute, so I do apologize. I'm looking at three different clocks,
okay.
And I got confused. That's the first time in my life that I got confused. I do apologize.
Wow, that's good. That's pretty good.
Started at 32 minutes after.
All right, so okay, so...
William here. Adriana can't get back on the call.
Oh, well, tell her to try her original number or one of the other numbers that I sent her.
Dwayne to the stack.
Dwayne, go ahead. You're next. And then, Dwayne had asked earlier.
And then go
two
blocks down.
I've been asking right before Dwayne, and then Dwayne has been after me. This is Jan.
No, Dwayne asked much earlier as well. Okay, he asked right after, he was asking while Mansoor was asking. So go ahead, Dwayne, and then Dan. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay, the question is to the chair and to the ED. We just heard a member admit that he has approached a station manager about running carts. It's been my understanding that board members, local station board members, don't try to impact, influence, or otherwise tell managers what to do. Is that appropriate action that this member just admitted that he spoke to the local station manager indicating that it was not a good idea to run carts? We understand that general managers have the authority to run the stations as they see fit. That's the first question. Is that appropriate? The second question is whether... Look, I want to hear the response to the first question before I answer that question.
Go ahead, Maxie.
Mansoor would like to address that question.
No. I would like to get that.
Well, you misrepresented what I said. You misrepresented what I said.
Wait. Okay, stop. All right, stop.
Well, he interrupted me, and I had the floor, and you don't acknowledge him.
I'm trying to get Maxie to answer your question.
Well, stop him from blurting out any time he get ready, and then he's a hypocrite to point that other people do it.
And I don't know if Dwayne's question for me or was it for you?
It was for both of us, and I cannot answer it, so I'm punting to you.
You're asking me if it's appropriate for a member of the board
Let me rephrase the question, if I may.
Please rephrase the question.
The executive director of this foundation. You are the chair of this foundation. Is it appropriate for a member of an LSB to approach a manager or any person their personal preference about how something should be done? That's as it relates to interfering with action.
Yeah, no. I got you, Dwayne. I got you. My response is absolutely not. My understanding is that the role of the board is about policy. It's about establishing policy. That the role of the executive director and staff of the national office, if you will, but primarily the executive director and perhaps the CFO, is to handle operations. And so, no, I would argue that it's inappropriate for members of the board to be intimately involved in that, particularly when there's so much political, there's so much politic involved in what happens with us as an organization. So, yeah, that's the answer to your question.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, may I respond to that?
No, wait a minute. And I get to answer as well. Also, I understand that I guess that was the local election supervisors have been instructed not to take any direction from the board or the LSB members. So, Maxine is in charge of the staff. So
yeah, and let me be real clear. Let me be real clear to that. I did send an email out to all of the LSB. I'm sorry, the LES and the NES regarding the election, making it abundantly clear to them that anyone who was approached by a member of the local station board or the Pacifica National Board should, number one, report that to me so that I'm aware of the contact and forward that information, whether it be voicemail or email, and if it was verbal, that they needed to communicate exactly what was said. That's number one. I said the second thing is that they should immediately refer that member of the LSB or the PNB to me or the NES so that we can respond to their concerns. There were some violations of that that I became abreast to in advance of my email. That's why I wrote the email, because I wanted to, number one, instruct the LES and the NES to act. The LES to not deal directly with members of either boards, because I thought that was completely inappropriate, considering the political ramifications. But two, I wanted to send a signal to this board that it was inappropriate for members of this board to take that kind of action. I understand and respect the passion that many of you bring to this process, but it is, I would argue, real problematic, considering the context of an election and the repercussions of that election, for any member of a board to be in trying to influence or give direction, more importantly, to any of the hired LES or NES.
So Maxie, if a board member or an LSB member has a concern, they would
bring it to the NES or me. Yes.
Or me.
And I will say, since that memo went out, members of the board and the LSBs have participated appropriately. We have had appropriate action taken by various members of the boards to follow through with this in the appropriate manner. So I want to thank those who have done that. That's been very important, and I think you've probably gotten closer to resolution to your questions or concerns than you would have otherwise, because what was happening clearly is that the LSB were providing either misinformation or fractional information, where the NES has an actual larger, bigger picture to provide. And I think it's important, if we're going to gather intelligence, that we understand it from a bigger 360-degree or wider perspective than what the LESs can provide.
Madam Chair?
Madam Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, I'll put
you on the staff,
Adriana.
Next. No, Madam Chair. I did not put you stuck.
I'm being dropped,
and it's impossible. I 15, 20 minutes without coming back to the board.
I'm sorry. I'm glad you got back in. Thank you for calling back in. Thank you for continuing to try to call back in.
Timekeeper.
Dan, you're next on the floor, Jan.
Madam Chair, timekeeper, 4.5 minutes left.
Okay, Jan, go ahead. Go ahead, Jan.
I just wanted to point out that our bylaws, I believe, require us to have announcements on the air. And also, if we don't get quorum, then it's going to cost more to do this election, and the best way to get to people is via our airwaves, since we do have this very loudspeaker.
I would argue that's not true. I'm sorry to interrupt, but let me be real clear. Direct mail to membership is much more effective than trying to reach them randomly through the air.
I think direct mail is great. Yes, I agree.
I'm letting you know that
as long as it doesn't get thrown away. If we are going to be on the air, which I do hope we will be, we can make it so that we say if it's during the fund drive that one of the great reasons that you should be donating is that we are a listener-sponsored radio, and these people are running to be part of the governance, and this is, you know, to turn it in such a way that this is, you know, that it's integrated in to the fundraising and applauded as, you know, another reason to donate instead of having it, contradicting. And maybe we shouldn't have them on the air, but at this point, I think it's in the bylaws, so maybe we should take it out of the bylaws. That was the gist of my point. And maybe I misunderstood what you were saying, Maxie, when you said something about, the general managers working with the, LSBs and maybe the PNB members. It seemed like you were encouraging us to in some way be involved, and then the next, a couple paragraphs later or after some back and forth, then you said that we should not be involved. So could you clarify that for me?
No, you're absolutely right. It probably was confusing. Hopefully I wasn't, but I'll make it clear now. So I appreciate you bringing it up. What I was simply saying is that when concerns by the station managers and program directors were made to me during the leadership call about running spots during pledge drives and the whole notion of airing spots on air versus making it something that's online in terms of the elections, my response to the station managers and program directors was that they should take that up with their LSB and in particular the delegates. So that's different than a member of the board reaching out to the local election supervisor.
Okay, thank you.
And giving
I get it. Thank you.
Yeah. No.
I get it. Thank you very much. Okay.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Sure.
1 minute left. 1 minute.
And Bill, I'd asked to be on the stack earlier.
Hi, is there an extension for time on Q&A for this?
Benito, 10 minutes.
Okay, Benito.
William
seconds?
And William for the stack.
Mansour objects.
They object to extending for 10 minutes?
Correct.
Okay, Bill, take a vote, please. Please.
I take it back. Excuse me. I take it back. It takes us more than 10 minutes to take a vote. It's okay.
Okay.
Request for information, Madam Chair.
Yes, what's your request for information?
I would like to know if the minor amendments to the timeline require a vote of the National Board.
No, it does not.
I didn't think they did. I just wanted to clarify that.
Who was next on the stack? Ask a question. Benito.
Bill?
No, I'm sorry. Bill.
And William.
And then William. Okay. Go ahead, Bill.
No, okay. Thank you. Well, thank you, Maxie, and you know, and pass along our thanks to Amma for keeping us informed about the changes in the election schedule. You know, I mean, I do worry about it getting delayed, but obviously you have to do what you need to do. And you know, although delays are not so good, avoiding Christmas and holiday mailing rush is good. I do want to stress, though, that you know, about the, you know, if we're going to have Democratic elected boards, it's actually worse than what you had indicated. We have probably less than 10% of the listeners actually are members, probably from most public radio stations, not just us. And in terms of who votes, KPFA traditionally gets between 15 and 20% of people voting. They have the biggest turnout. Most of the other stations barely reach quorum, and several of them have repeatedly not reached quorum without an extension. So I think you need to think about talking to specific GMs and PDs about how to promote it somehow. I know WPFW and KPFT have failed to reach quorum, you know, several times. KPFK has failed at least once. And so we do need to stress that. And remember, direct mail does cost a lot. So that's an issue. Thank you.
No, that's a valid point. I actually probably don't want to stress direct mail as much as I think, you know, I think the point was made that we need to promote the fact that this is member supported and that our membership actually has value in the sense that you do have a voting interest in the organization. And I think that's something we don't sell enough. And when I listen to the pledge drive, in fact, I have a good friend who's a avid listener to WPFW who said to me, I never knew that I could vote if I was a member. He said, I'm a member, and I still didn't know that. So I say that to say that you're right. We probably do need to stress in our pledge drives as part of our statement as to the value proposition of becoming a member, is that you actually do get to vote and potentially serve as a member of the LSB and then potentially the national board. So I agree with you wholeheartedly that we need to advocate for participatory listenership in a way that we probably aren't doing now. And there's probably great ways to do that that I'm not even aware of, but we should certainly explore. That's why I said I think we should discuss it for sure. I know
okay,
we're on the same timeline, so I'll be brief. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. William, you have the floor.
Thank you. I'm going to reintroduce my motion from the summer to postpone the elections to next year, because we're way past being able to meet people in December and January. So and changing dates, especially the record date, affects who can run, who can vote. It's all a big mess. And, you know,
Can I respond before we go forward?
I'm not finished yet. One month that people
will
be.
William, off the floor, please don't.
It's my fault.
One month the PNB can't touch the elections, and then another month the PNB has to vote on it, and now we're back to the PNB doesn't have to vote anymore. So it's obvious that these elections are just a mess. And then never mind the real problems that the election supervisors pointed out about mailing lists. But I'm going to resubmit my motion with some extra wording here or there.
30 seconds.
I don't know.
This is Grace for the stack.
And Madam Chair, I seconded William's motion.
Point of order.
This is
Bill.
This is Maxie. I don't know if I should respond to a motion, so I'll be quiet until you tell me, Madam Chair, what to do. It doesn't sound like it was something for me to answer.
Bill,
you're muted, Nancy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, correct. Maxie, you should not respond. I mean, we'll just go through this. Okay, so William.
Nancy, the parliamentarian would like to speak.
Yes?
The parliamentarian would like to speak.
John, go ahead.
Yeah, on the agenda, we're at the point of the report for the elections that the executive director is giving. Therefore, I'm hoping that during the discussion of this motion that maybe they would ask the ED about the advisability of passing this motion.
Right, that would be the appropriate time for Maxie to speak. Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, timekeeper, 3 minutes. 3 minutes.
Okay, all right. So I have a second, and I have Grace on the stack. Go ahead, Grace.
Bill had a point of order.
I had a point of order.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you, Bill. What's your point of order?
Well, you know, this will take a two-thirds vote if it's to be voted on, because this is essentially amending something previously adopted or rescinding something previously adopted. And there hasn't been notice of this.
Right. Is that correct, Mr. Tatum?
That is correct.
Okay. And thank you, Bill. Thank you, Mr. Tatum. Okay. Point well taken. All right. Let's go to Grace. Go ahead.
Yes. I feel, first of all, that this board should approve the timeline that the NES has presented to us, because we would not want to give wide latitude to the NES to adjust the timeline in any radical way by moving it forward another month or 2 months. So I think it's a good practice in accord with the legal opinion we got from Fort Greene. So I think we should give approval to this new timeline, because I think it is sensible, and not just let it go without an approval. And if there's going to be any other major adjustments to the timeline, the NES should come back to the board in accord with that legal opinion.
Stop. You're not speaking to this motion that's on the floor.
Yeah, I will. And of course, I'm against this motion. It's dilatory. Canceling this election will put us in severe violation of our bylaws and in violation of corporations code, because we cannot extend the terms of delegates or directors without a vote of the entire membership. So it's completely puts us in complete illegal territory.
Thank you.
Maxie, I would like you to weigh in on this, please.
Madam Chair, timekeeper, we only got 30 seconds.
Okay, 30 seconds, Maxie.
Yeah, the bottom line is I believe that was Grace who was just speaking. Grace is probably correct on this. Was that Grace? I'm sorry. I would agree. The bottom line is we've been told by our attorney, Ford Greene, who you heard earlier today, that really the time that the election occurs is an internal issue that Pacifica has created. It is less important than the appropriate time intervals designated for the election itself. And so therefore, I think, you know, we're well positioned, whether you agree with the going forward with the election or not. The election can be executed to our best of our capabilities as the timeline that's been provided suggests. This board voted in the affirmative for an election. The NES has done the due diligence with the vendors to ensure that what was proposed can be accommodated. As a result, we've got some adjustments, and we're moving forward. The lists are certainly getting better by the day. How good they are, I can't answer at this moment. But the bottom line is I don't see any reason why we would discontinue this process, considering the voting dynamics of this board.
Okay, thank you. We're out of time. If we need to extend time, we need to have a motion to extend time if we want to have more time to discuss this before we go to a vote.
And that would take two-thirds, because we after 12 a.m. in East Coast time.
The extension of time will take two-thirds, correct.
Madam Chair, request for information.
What's your request for information, Benito?
What gives the timekeeper special rights to speak without being recognized?
He was. I took that as a request for information from the timekeeper.
He did not ask to be recognized.
All right. Well, I took it as that. All right.
Bill, request for information.
All right. So, what's your request for information?
Two sets of rules, Madam Chair. Two sets of rules.
Welcome to America.
I am not perfect. I apologize for not being perfect. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, was the motion emailed to me? I'm not clear what the exact wording is, or
it was the election for this year. It was the same motion from before. I asked him to email it. It was the same motion that was attempted to be put on the agenda back in September. That we voted to not vote on because it would have been a conflict of interest to vote on a timeline back then. So,
okay.
This is William. It went out at 12:01.
That was the issue back then.
Oh, okay, I see it. Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah, that was the motion. So, William, please send it again so we can put it in the record. What?
I got it.
You did?
12:01 is the time. I just said that three times. The email, I have sent another email with a slightly revised motion.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you so much. Okay. So now if we have a motion to extend, it will require 2/3. Do I have a motion to extend? For whatever. Okay, hearing no motion to extend, we go to a vote on this motion proposed by William and seconded by Benito.
And it takes 2/3 of votes? Am I right?
You said that before.
Well, I think the board voted. No. The board voted to change that vote to a majority last week. So it would take a majority vote to pass this motion. So go ahead.
Actually, Madam Chair, that is not correct. Madam Chair, that's not correct.
No?
Because of what Bill brought up, that this motion was brought to the floor without any previous notice.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It requires 2/3 because it was brought up before.
Madam Chair, this is going to require a majority of the entire board, present or absent. So the board has 22 people in it. So it's going to take a majority of 22, which is 12. It will take 12 to pass.
You mean 13?
12. 11 plus 1, 12.
Okay,
a majority of the entire board, whether they're present or absent.
All right, thank you so much. Okay, Bill, take the vote, please.
Well, that's...
Couldn't we have the motion read?
Point of order, Bill. This is equivalent to amending something previously adopted or rescinding something, so wouldn't it take 2/3?
Yeah,
that's
but
a
when
question
it's...
for you, Mr. Parliamentarian.
If it had previous notice, then it would take... or 2/3, but this one did not have previous notice, so it's going to take a majority of the entire board, whether they're present or absent.
Okay, you may take the vote now?
Yes, please do.
Okay,
yeah.
Grace Aaron.
Without knowing what we're voting on.
Is this on William's motion to cancel the election?
We are voting on William's motion to postpone the election. He sent an email.
I'd like to read the motion, Ms. William.
Go ahead.
Motivated.
Go ahead and read it.
Timeline for next delegate election. whereas Pacifica is out of compliance with Article 4 and 5 of the bylaws relative to the delegate elections timeline, and whereas it is the intent of the Pacifica Foundation to follow our bylaws as closely as possible, and whereas the Foundation has had demonstrable business-altering circumstances, specifically the Empire State Realty Trust versus Pacifica lawsuit regarding WBAI rents and license fees, et cetera, in addition to an avalanche of other pressing financial obligations, including overdue contributions to employee pensions, and whereas due to these extraordinary circumstances, which are more severe than in 2013 when delegate elections were previously postponed, and given the 2012 delegates election cost Pacifica $224,850.53, the 2015 delegate elections cost Pacifica $143,511.47, and the 2016 delegates election cost Pacifica an estimated $136,000. The Foundation's cash flow was not sufficient to fund a delegates election. And whereas our fiduciary duties as directors are paramount in the discharge of our duty of loyalty to the Pacifica Foundation, and whereas the Pacifica National Board fully endorses democratic elections of delegates and fully wishes to maintain the bylaws as stated, elections of delegates shall be staggered over a three-year period, and whereas various timelines have been publicly offered and each change in the record date causes more confusion and adversely affects current candidates, petition signatories, and expectant voters, be it hereby resolved that the PNB hereby authorizes maintaining the required two elections in a three-year period, but that the sequence of our elections for this three-year period, 2018 to 2020, shall be the second and third year, 2019 and 2020, rather than the first and second year, 2018 and 2019, and specifies that the next delegate elections shall begin in 2019 in accordance with the original bylaws election timeline, and current delegates shall continue to serve until the next election, except that those meeting the individual and absolute six consecutive year limit are automatically removed and replaced from the runners-up list from the last election, and if exhausted by appointment for the local station board, as with other delegate vacancies per Article 4, Section 10, directors shall be elected to the PNB in January 2019 as per usual. So the directors are not being extended.
Thank you very much, William. We're going to a vote now. We do not have time to motivate this unless there's an extension for time, and there has not been an extension of time. So, Bill, please take the vote.
I have an email here from my Deanna. She can't get in.
Well, tell her to keep trying.
Give me her.
She's been trying. That's what she's telling all of us.
Thank you.
Her email.
Well, she can call me, and I'll patch her in.
Madam Chair, I'm requesting to be able to read her email to the PMB.
No, you can patch her in, and we're going to a vote. We don't have time to read her email. All right, we're going to a vote now, Benito. Please take the vote, Bill.
Okay, so
if Adriana wants to vote, she can call me, and I will patch her in so she can vote.
What she's saying either. So this is very consistent again, Madam Chair. Yeah.
Bill, take the vote. Benito, you don't have the floor anymore. I heard the concern, and I've offered a solution, and Adriana can call me if she wants to vote.
I do not have the ability to do what you suggested.
Well, she can hear me. I'm on the stream. She can call me.
Okay, is the voting on William's motion? Should I take the vote?
Go
Go ahead, Bill. Take the vote.
Okay, Grace Aaron?
No.
Grace votes no. Jonathan Alexander? Can't hear you, John. Adriana Casanave?
You know she's not on the line.
Madam Chair, Chef, just put me in. Can you tell me what the heck is going on?
How do you want to vote? We're voting on William's motion.
In what?
William emailed the motion. He emailed the motion.
What the heck you are voting on?
The motion that William just emailed. Read your email. We'll come back to you for your vote. We'll come back to you. Bill, proceed with the vote.
Okay. He emailed it 15 minutes ago. Chris Corey?
Yes. Oh, sorry. No.
Okay. Chris votes no. Bill Crozier votes no. Joseph Davis? Assume he's not on the call. Catherine Davis?
No.
Catherine votes no. Benito Diaz?
Yes.
Benito votes yes. Jan Goodman?
No.
Jan votes no. William Heerwagon?
Yes. Yep.
I think that was a yes for William. Sabrina Jacobs?
Nope.
Sabrina votes no. Dwayne Lark?
Yes.
Dwayne votes yes. Ken Laufer?
No.
Ken votes no. Tony Leon? Can't hear you, Tony. Afia Wangaza? Can't hear you, Afia. Alex Randall? I don't know if you're still on the call. Mansoor Sabah?
No.
Mansoor votes no. Alex Steinberg?
No.
Alex Steinberg votes no. Carol Travis?
No.
Carol votes no. Tom Voorhees? I don't think he's on. Moscula Washington?
Yes.
Moscula votes yes. Going back, Jonathan Alexander? Can't hear you, John. Adriana Casanave?
Yes.
Adriana votes yes. Joseph Davis? I don't think he's on the call. Tony Leon? Is he on? He answered as an answer to the roll for the last several votes. Afia Wangaza? Can't hear you, Afia. And Alex Randall? Couldn't hear you. Or Tom Voorhees? Let me count. With five yes and 10 no's. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Chair abstains.
Abstains. It'll be 5 yes, 10 no's, 1 abstention.
Okay, this motion fails, and we are now adjourned because we had no extension of time. Good night, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Traitors.